Well, it's a pleasure to be here, and I was thrilled about the weather outside today, because I'm a pro summer guy, and if I was the Lord, it'd be summer all year round, but I'm not God, but anyway. So, just a beautiful day, and it's great to be outside and all that stuff, and spring is around the corner. There was a psychologist by the name of Julius Seagal, not Steven Seagal, the movie star. And what Mr. Seagal did, he did a very extensive research into POWs in World War II, and how many, about 25,000 plus Americans who are POWs in Japanese camps. And we might have seen a few movies like Gone Broken and that. You can only guess what it might have been like. Unfortunately, many of those prisoners, they died under inhumane conditions, and it was just a sad thing. And, of course, many survived. They were freed, and they got to return home. The title of his book was Winning Life's Toughest Battles. Now, the ones who... He came up with a really interesting observation why a lot of prisoners died and why X amount of them survived. And he came up with a real simple conclusion, because both groups of prisoners would have had the same stamina. What we mean by that, they would all have been mostly young fellows in reasonably good health. But why did the one group, a majority of the group, die off and the other group survive? Why? And so that really puzzled him, and he came up with this very simple conclusion. There was one major aspect why this one group of men survived and the others didn't do so well. Now, a man by the name of Robin Reeder, in a book, Holding On to Hope, these soldiers that survived, they had a hope. What do we mean by they had a hope? They would talk about, when they got out of this place, you know, what kind of jobs they would be doing or getting, even potentially what kind of women they would be marrying, and they'd even draw on the walls things just about, and that kept their hopes alive. That really kept their hopes alive. And anyway, it's just, I just thought that was an interesting thing, that these prisoners who survived, they had some kind of a hope. Now, I want to remind you, whenever the word hope is mentioned, hope always demands an object. When you talk about hope, it always demands an object. Whether you're talking to a non-believer or a believer, whenever we mention the subject hope, it always demands an object. And our message tonight is obviously going to be centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Titus chapter 2, verse 13 calls looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to read about the rapture tonight, and I have some very, very simple thoughts about the rapture tonight. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. So those men who survived those very inhumane conditions and just ungodly things, they had a hope. They had a hope. But, of course, you and I have the greatest hope of all. Now, I'm reading from the King James. So 1 Thessalonians 4, and I'm reading verses 13 through 18. Paul is the author, and I'm reading from the King James. Paul says in verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive, that's you and I, and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever, ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Well, the title of my message is actually a borrowed title from a lovely song. And the title of my little message, In Christ Alone is Our Hope. In Christ Alone is Our Hope. And my text is 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, which we just got done reading. And in this text, we have a blessed hope revealed to us in four different ways. Now, Christ is the hope, but he's revealed to us in this passage in four different ways that you and I need to not only rely on, but also to rejoice in. Okay? What are these four different ways? Well, in Christ alone, we have a personal hope. And that's found in verse 16a. In Christ alone, we have a victorious hope. That's the last part of verse 16 and 17. And in Christ alone, we have a powerful hope. That's in verse 17. I'll be more specific in a minute. And in Christ alone, we have a promised hope. Okay? So, for us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the greatest hope of all. My heart goes out to my family members, friends, co-workers, not co-workers, other people I've tried to witness to in the past and they're still alive, that without Jesus they have no hope. And that's in Ephesians 2. And it's a misplaced hope. Science or anything else is a misplaced hope. But we have a blessed hope. So, beginning in Christ alone, we have a personal hope. What do we mean by that? In verse 16, it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven." So, in the first part of the verse, we're reminded that the Lord Jesus, that he shall personally, and I put an emphasis on that word personally, that he's personally going to come for us. He's not sending his angels. He's not going to send a bunch of angels. He could do it, I suppose, other ways. But we're reminded that he is personally going to come for us. Isn't there some kind of special when someone personally comes for you, picks you up, takes you out to dinner, or something like that? They personally come for you. Isn't that kind of special? Well, our Savior, our Creator who became our Savior, in this verse it says, he shall personally come for us. Now, I know a lot of us love John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, which are usually read out at a funeral. And the words go something like this. The Lord Jesus said, and how did it start out now? Let not your heart be troubled. Thank you. Appreciate it. I need a lot of help. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Now that's pretty personal, isn't it? That the Lord God Almighty, his greatness is unsearchable, our Savior, it reminds this verse that he is personally going to come for us. That thrills my soul. Moving on, I should thrill yours too. Now, in the same verse, moving on, he personally shall call for us. He shall call for us. Notice in verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. And notice these three distinct sounds. With a shout, number one. With the voice of an archangel, number two. And with the sound and with the trump of God. So there's three very distinct sounds. Now, I don't know how you think, I personally believe that when you know, in the Lord, and I do believe in the imminent return of Lord Jesus, what do you mean by that? That he could come any minute. That's what it means. By the way, that's the next event on God's calendar for the church, is the rapture. I believe that when he shouts or calls us, I don't know what those are words are going to be, and also the voice of the archangel and the trump, I believe it's going to be on a wavelength that the world cannot hear. Does that make sense? Dogs supposedly hear, have very sensitive hearing to a certain wavelength that humans cannot hear. True? I believe when Paul was knocked off his horse, or his camel, on the road to Damascus, and the fellows around him, they heard words, but they couldn't distinguish those words. Okay? So I personally believe that when the Lord comes for us with a shout and the voice of an archangel and the trump of God, it is going to be on a wavelength that the world cannot hear. And I just want to remind you that could be any second. It could be before tonight. It could be tomorrow. But it is going to happen. Now, I have not seen too many disaster films on the rapture. But there's going to be a lot of... there's going to be a lot of shock in the world. And they will try to explain that away eventually. But well, you know what I'm thankful for? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. In our hymn books, most of my illustrations tonight will be from the hymn book. In that great hymn we sing, How Great Thou Art, I just want to thrill your soul with the last verse. Oh, thank you. You got it memorized too. Okay. In that great hymn, How Great Thou Art, the last verse goes like this. I want to sing to you, but I won't do it. It says, when Christ shall come with a shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. So in that last verse, it talks about that shout of acclamation. Now, the question I would ask you, and I ask myself, what should be our response to these great truths that he is going to personally come for us, and he's going to personally call each of us? What should be our response to these truths? Well, hopefully it'd be worship, adoration, thanksgiving, and yes, Lord Jesus, come quickly. But I'm so thankful to know that he's going to come. Well, not only in Christ alone do we have a personal hope, but in Christ alone we have a victorious hope. What do we mean by that? The last part of verse 16, it says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So, how many of us have family, dear friends, you know, co-workers, old friends and that have, you know, they have died, and you know, they're with the Lord, but their bodies are buried in the ground. So we're reminded that the dead in Christ shall rise victorious, and notice the next word I'm going to use. They shall rise victorious over death. In other words, the grave can't keep them down. Sure, you know, they're buried in 6 feet, you know, and all this and that, but they're going to rise victorious over death. Those bodies are going to come out of the grave when they hear the shout, the sound of the archangel and the trump. Those bodies are going to come out of those graves. I mean, I don't know how that's going to play out. Is the ground going to burst? I don't know how that's going to play out. But they're going to rise victorious over death. Now, that's good news for them. And the good news for you, we who are alive in Christ shall victoriously, what? Cheat death. We shall cheat death if we were to hear his shout in the next few minutes. We're going to cheat death. Now, I don't know if you have any friends that are grave diggers, but you're going to lose a lot of business. Because we are going to what? Victoriously cheat death. No thanks to Adam and Eve. You know, death is something that happens to all human beings with one exception. To those who are born again. who have placed their personal faith, their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, there is an escape clause for them that if we're still alive and He comes again for us, we will victoriously cheat death. I don't know about you. I am a little bit older now, and I'm skating on thin ice. And I'm not worried about where I'm going to spend eternity, but I wonder how I might check out. And I hope the Lord will let my tent down easily, as one brother said. But, you know, I prefer the other way. I'll take the rapture. I prefer the rapture. If that's the Lord's will. We sing the hymn when we all get to heaven. And I like to read the first line of, and that's a lovely hymn, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that's going to be. But I want to remind you the words of that hymn, the first line, when we all get to heaven. And it goes something like this. I'm getting there. Yeah, 624 in the red hymn book, I hope. the first verse says, sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, it says, we shall sing and shout what? The victory. I'm excited about that. Because it is a promise. This could happen in your lifetime and my lifetime. So I would ask the question, how should we respond to these two truths? That our loved ones, family, friends, and a whole lot of other people who have already died and they're in the presence of the Lord Jesus, and we are all going to be caught up together. They go first, we go second, and there's going to be a glorious reunion in the sky. You talk about a conference. Wow, what a conference that's going to be. And it's going to be millions and millions. But I'm extremely thankful for the victory the Lord Jesus has won for me. What about you? I love that verse in 1 Corinthians. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful. So what should be our responses to those truths? Praise, thanksgiving, adoration, and a life worth living because of Him. Well, not only do in Christ alone we have a personal hope, and we have a victorious hope. Number three, in Christ alone, we have a powerful hope. Verse 17a. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Notice those two words, caught up together with them in the clouds. So the dead in Christ rise first, and then we follow. There's a pause there. And it says, we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. We shall be powerfully caught up together by Christ. I don't know where I got this piece of information, but that word caught up has five meanings. That little two-word phrase has five meanings, and here's what it is. To catch away speedily, for there will be no warning. To seize by force. To claim for oneself, just as the bridegroom claims the bride. To move to a new place, which is far better than this place. I do like Curtis Chapel, but I'd rather be in the presence of the Lord. To rescue from danger, for the church will not go through the tribulation. Five meanings in that little word, caught up. Five meanings. I'm excited about that. And moving on concerning we will be powerfully caught up, but please note, we're also going to be powerfully changed by Christ. Now, if I remember my theology and doctrine, the instant you and I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, in Colossians 1, it says we were translated from a kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. That is positionally or spiritually. But it says here, that we are going to be changed by Christ. In other words, in this very short little journey, when we go up to meet the Lord in the clouds and we're in His presence, we are going to be transfigured inside and outside. To be in the presence of a thrice holy God, to be in the presence of Christ, we can have no sin, right? So that means you and I, our sin nature is going to be eradicated, and we are going to be just like the Lord Jesus in an instant. I get excited about that. So we are going to powerfully be changed by Christ, also in the twinkling of an eye. I get excited about that. I'm going to get a new body. I'm not going to wear glasses anymore. I don't have to worry about my false teeth. I don't have to worry about this or that. You know, we're going to have a body just like the Lord Jesus. That's pretty exciting. Many years ago in the 1990s, National Geographic ran a TV series called Great Migrations, mostly about the animal kingdom. When you think about great migrations, what do you think of? Like the salmon out there by Washington, the state of Washington. They make this journey, you know, they do what? They spawn up in the upper thing and they go out the ocean for a little trip and then they what? Return. It's like a great migration of these salmon. You know, like these butterflies, I can't think of the name. What is it? The monarch butterfly. Like it travels like 2,000 or 3,000 miles somewhere in the United States. Great migrations of butterflies. What is it? What's the thing with Capistrano, the birds? You know, great migrations, you know? I want to remind you, basically the simple meaning of a migration is moving from one place to another place. I want to remind you, my brothers and sisters, when the Lord comes for us, this could be the greatest migration in world history. This could be millions and millions moving from this old world, which is passing away and instantly into His presence. That's the greatest migration of all. And you and I will be there. I mean, like that, we're in His presence. That's the greatest migration of all. And I'm so thankful to be a part of that. What about you? So thankful to be a part about that. Well, what should be our response to those truths? Praise, adoration, thanksgiving, and so much more. Well, not only in Christ alone we have a personal hope, we have a victorious hope, we have a powerful hope. My last one is, in Christ alone we have a promised hope. Part B of verse 17. It says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. But notice the last part. And so shall we ever. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's a promise. Think about that. What an inheritance you and I have in Christ. What promises, what spiritual blessings we have in Christ. That we're going to be with Him forever. Wow. We shall meet the Lord. Oh, excuse me. I jumped it a little bit. Promise number one is we're going to meet the Lord personally. Promise number two is we shall ever be with the Lord. How many of us love 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2? Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, we are now the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. I'm excited about that. You know, by the way, all the trials and troubles and temptations and tears that you and I are going through in this life, they're all working for one single purpose, Romans 8:29, that we may be conformed to the image of His Son. And so in the rapture, God having a perfect plan and design for your life and my life, in an instant, we're going to be like the Lord Jesus. We're going to be with Him forever. We're going to be like Him forever. And we are going to be praising Him and thanking Him. and lost in wonder of His beauty, glory, majesty forever. What a place God has prepared for us. I'm trying to think of that. There's a cute little poem or stanza. Wonderful Savior, wonderful friend. Wonderful life that shall never end. Wonderful place that He's gone to prepare. Wonder of wonders, I shall be there. That's what Christ has done for us. He's prepared a place for you and I. And it's all because we have placed our hope and faith in Him alone to do these things. And we're going to be with Him forever. I'm very, very thankful for that. One of the great hymns we probably don't sing too often, it's called Face to Face. I'll read a couple of verses and then I'm almost done. Of course, I don't know where it's at in here, but I know it's in here. Okay, give me a second to look at. Okay, 617. By the way, this is a powerful hymn like they all are. I want to read these words. Face to face. Face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ who died for me? Verse 3, what rejoicing in His presence, when are banished grief and pain, when the crooked ways are straightened and the dark things shall be plain. In the last verse, face to face, O blissful moment, better, O blissful eternity. Face to face to see and know. Face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. And the chorus says, face to face I shall behold Him far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory I shall see Him by and by. So all these four hopes, different hopes, a personal hope, a victorious hope, powerful hope, and a promise hope, all revolve around the person of our Savior. It's all because of Him and what He did on Calvary's cross for us and we who put our trust in Him. These things will come to fruition. It could come any minute. It's the next event on God's calendar for the church. And thank God you and I are part of that. Therefore, in reading, hearing that in Christ alone we have this blessed hope revealed to us in four different ways, let us not only be looking and longing for His soon return, but God help us to be laboring for Him for one purpose, to woo and win our family and friends that they could be with us to enjoy all these innumerable blessings. God help us. I'll conclude with the hymn, He'll Come and Tarry Not. And I don't know where that's at either. Okay, but it's in here. He'll Come and Tarry Not. Anybody know what page that's on?
85.
Excuse me?
185.
Okay, so I'll just read the words of that, and then I'll close in prayer. 185. Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming again. Forest and flower exclaim, mountain and meadow the same, all earth and heaven proclaim, Jesus is coming again. Standing before Him at last, trial and trouble all pass, crowns at His feet we will cast, Jesus is coming again. And I love that. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and it may be real soon. But He is coming again. Let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, again, our hearts go out to the multitude of people in this present world, which is passing away, who are without Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 says, and you know exactly who they are, that those without Christ have no hope. And Father, then there are us who are saved by the grace of God, by the blood of the Lord Jesus. We have this blessed hope in Your Son. Thank You for reminding us concerning the Lord Jesus and his coming again for us. It's a personal hope. It's a victorious hope. It's a powerful hope. It's a promise hope. And these things will happen. God, help us to be looking and longing for his return. But help us also to be laboring for him, to try to woo and win our family and friends and those who need the Lord Jesus. God, help us to live lives worthy of the Savior, that others may join us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. That's a shocker. I'm done 5 minutes early.